Kof Hei Shvat, Thursday the 31st of January, Rabbi Mendy Richman, Ribbis versus Presents, Part 2.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again. This week's parasha starts off at Elam Shpatim, Ashtosim Lefneim. And Rashi brings that Medrash says, what's Ve'ele, what's the Vav, the continuation, the Vav? Ve'ele HaMashpatim, Ma HaRishonim Misinai, Af Eilu Misinai. Just like previously, the Aseres HaDibros and what we've learned until now was from Sinai, so too are the Mishpatim from Sinai. And this idea, understood from a number of Sfarim, is that in Parshas Yisro, when we heard the Aseres HaDibros, when Klal Yisrael heard the Aseres HaDibros, so it was a very high, uplifting time. The pasuk says, "Ata reis aladas ki Hashem olikim." The mountain, the skies opened. They saw the Rabbeinu Shleilam. The Malachim came and gave them crowns. They felt on the level of Malachim. It was a very high spiritual time, and they felt on a very high level after the revelation of Matan Torah. When we come to Parshas Mishpatim, we learn about all seemingly mundane laws that people with steal, and you shouldn't steal, and lying, and being mazik, someone else, and what one's supposed to do, and how to deal with one's money, to give tzedakah, to make sure one uses it in the right way. So it seems that it's a very different level to that of the level of the Aseres HaDibros that were given on Har Sinai. But Rashi brings, Ma Rishonim Misinai, Af Eilu Misinai, in the same way that a person can be connected to Rabbeinu Shonim in a very deep, high, uplifted way, in Matan Torah and Har Sinai by the Aseres HaDibros, so too, when we live our day-to-day life and we do business and we have to do with people, if we do it in the right way, Ve'ela Mishpatim, Af Eilu Misinai, these two can have that same level that we reached at Har Sinai. So today we'll discuss the number of things that were asked in the last year and try to make some clarity of some of the subjects. Someone asked in last time when we were here, if you're allowed to say thank you for a loan. The lender lends you money and you want to show your gratitude, so you want to say thank you. And someone told me an interesting story, I'm not sure what to make of it, that Rabbi Yeruchim, when he was mashkiach in yeshiva, so he once lent a boy money, a boy needed money for his train fares to get home to wherever he lived, there in Lithuania, wherever it was, and he needed money to get home for his train ride. He went to Rabbi Yeruchim, he asked him to lend him money, and he lent him the money. When he came back at the beginning of the next month, he gave him back the money, and he said, thank you. So Rabbi Yeruchim started shouting at him, thank you, you're not allowed to say thank you for a loan, it's mamash isatera, it's asa to say thank you, it's ribis. Fine, okay, the boy learned his lesson, he understood one's not allowed to say thank you. The next time such a story happened, he had to borrow money from his mashkiach, and he gave it back. So when he came, he gave it back, and he just gave it back and ran away. So Yeruchim called him back and he goes, he says, you know, Hakaras HaToyev is a midah, an important type of Hakaras HaToyev. So I'm not sure what to make of the story, but I think that the understanding of it is that Yeruchim wanted to teach a message that the fact that you're not allowed to say thank you is not a contradiction to having Hakaras HaToyev. It means that we're going to discuss now what the halach is of saying thank you. That shouldn't necessarily affect the feelings of a person and the midah of gratitude that a person has to understand that he's been done a favour by someone else when the person has lent him money, even though there may be an issa to say thank you. You can say thank you for the effort. That will possibly be one of the solutions. The Gemara in Bar Metzia says like this, Rav Shimon ben Yochai oimer, minay elanoisha b'chaveir emana, ve'ene rogil v'haktim lo shalom, she'osa l'haktim lo shalom. Tamalei ma'neshech kodava she'yishach, afilo dibo osa. The Gemara says that if you have borrowed money from someone and you walk past him on the street and you previously have had nothing to do with him, it's also one is not allowed to greet him. One is not allowed to say to him, Shalom, good morning. And the reason is, because we learn out of a pasuk, Kol Dava Sheyishach, any extra that is given for the loan, Kol Dava, Nafilu Dibo, even just speech. So, the Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva, where they asked him, are you allowed to say thank you for a loan? So originally he wanted to say that from the Gemara we see that you're not allowed to be makdim shalom to someone that lent you money. So being makdim shalom, saying good morning to someone, he says you can't just build from that that every single form of speech is asa. Maybe being makdim shalom, someone walks in and you give them a nice greeting, a good morning, that could possibly be considered giving more than just saying thank you for a loan. And therefore he wants to suggest that it would be mutter to say thank you. It would be mutter to say thank you. Saying thank you is not considered as bad as a regular ribis dvarim, ribis of words. And what he does add is that he sees that sometimes people lend each other money, and when they pay back the money, or when they take the money originally, when the borrower takes the money from the lender, they like say, oh, you should be gebenched, brachah v'atzlacha b'chol anyonim. So he said that he feels is much worse, because there you're actually giving the malva a bracha. And to give him a bracha, that wouldn't be allowed, because he's giving you money, and you're going to give the lender, and you're saying, I want to give you a bracha, I want to bench you. So that, he says, is giving back something very positive. Whereas to say thank you should possibly be muta.
So shkoyach would be a bracha, wouldn't it?
Yeshekachacha.
Yeah.
Right, because that's more a bracha, you should be strengthened. I think he speaks that out there.
Sure, it's the same as thank you.
It's just a way, it's like another language, another way of saying thank you.
I've forgotten how we learned this from the Pasuk. Where did we get this from the Pasuk that we shouldn't say thank you?
So the Pasuk says, Kol Dovo Asha Yishach. Dovo. And the Gemara Dash is a Filu Dibo Asa. Even something which is a Dibo. And the Gemara's example is a case of being Makdim Shalom, greeting someone, greeting the lender when you see him, in an instance when you've never previously greeted him. And suddenly now, due to the loan, you feel what? Connected, and you want to say you want to greet him when you see him.
But it'll have a negative effect because that lender will never lend again because someone's always going to say thank you and then he'll be taking with us. So he might never lend again.
If what?
If the person who does borrow from him says thank you, the person who lends will be so upset about it because he means he's taking with us, he'll never lend again.
When he knows the halacha, I don't think he'll have a problem with it. But there are solutions. If the, first of all, we'll discuss that maybe just saying thank you might be okay. And even in a case where it's not, there is a solution possibly for what the lender should do when he receives a thank you.
If he doesn't know the halacha, he shouldn't be lending.
If he doesn't know the halacha, then anyway, he won't have these problems. However, this was Rav Shem Zalman in his Shalas HaChuvas in the first Chelek. Later on, someone obviously showed him that there's a clear lashon in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, which says clearly that a person, ein tarach lema, the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, you're not allowed to lekalse b'fanav, you're not allowed to praise the lender, oy lehoidos, or lehachzik le'toiva. He says clearly that you're not allowed to thank the lender. And so, Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote in a letter afterwards that he retracts from his original heta of saying thank you, and he says that the Shulchan Aruch Harav says clearly that you mustn't say thank you, then you shouldn't, then you can't say thank you. Now there's a very interesting Darki Tshuva, which says, seemingly maybe what people are discussing, he says clearly Darki Tshuva was, I'm not sure how long ago, I think 80 years ago, 100 years ago it was written, based on Tshuvas, in those days, the bottom of Shulchan Aruch you have Pischi Tshuva, which was written earlier, probably 200 years ago. This was a later collection of Tshuvas. And he writes there that Minhag HaOlam is, the minhag of the world is that people do say toida, people say thank you. And he's worried about it, and he says, I'm not sure what to do with this minhag HaOlam that people are doing. And he says that maybe, possibly, it would be a good idea if a person, after he pays back the money to the lender, if he waits, I don't know, let's say 10 seconds or something, after Teich Kedei Dibbo, and then he says thank you, then it's no longer during the loan, it's no longer connected to the loan, and that would possibly be an Eitzah. But he doesn't seem to say that he's saying that this is a Heta Lakatchela. He seems to say that those people that are saying thank you, and this is my only Eitzah to make it work for them.
Can't he say, I would like to thank you, but you're not allowed because it's Libis, so
I said, yes.
I hear that would possibly be an Eitzah. But I wonder if that's actually called thanking or not.
He's got a message
that he wants thanking.
He's not allowed to do it, but he's allowed to thank him.
So we mentioned last time quickly when someone asked in, and someone just mentioned it now, that there are two ways of saying thank you that could be allowed. A person is allowed to say to the lender, thank you for your time and for the effort that you put into this. Sometimes to to create a loan. It's not just simple. A person doesn't just have money sitting everywhere. He has to move some things around. He has to give you a meeting for an hour to discuss all your needs. And when he gives you that loan, if we're talking about like serious loan, and take some time away from the lender, you can say thank you for your time and for the effort that you put in to for this loan. But it's not always an eitzah, because sometimes the loan is so great that if you say thank you for your time, it sounds wrong. Guy just lent you £100,000 and you say, oh, thank you for your time. You missed the boat. It's nothing compared to the favor he's given you. And it will sound wrong. So another eitzah is, you're allowed to explain the lender how helpful this loan is to you. What's the thing? If I'm a lender and I lend someone out money and the person just doesn't connect to me and doesn't say thank you, doesn't say anything, I feel slightly wronged. I feel slightly that he's just taking me for a ride. But if the borrower explains to me and he says, this loan is an immense help for me because I need it for X, Y, and Z, and it's going to help me in many ways, that would already help the lender have a good feeling about it, even though you didn't actually say thank you, but you've explained to him how this has positively helped you.
Does it make a difference to say thank you when you receive the loan or later on when you repay it? It's easier to say thank you when you receive the loan before, like you haven't, as opposed to when you give it back with a revisit, actually, if you say thank you.
Right, there is a svara that when you're paying back, that makes it worse. But that's what we just said from the Darki Tshuva says that maybe the opposite. Maybe when you take the loan and you say thank you, then that's mid-term of the loan. It's always worse to give something back, to give something extra mid-term of the loan.
You're not giving. When
you take the money from the lender...
Then you're not giving it, it's exactly. So you just say thank you. So you're not.
The problem with the thank you is that we look at it that he is giving something back extra. When someone lends you £100,000, you give him straight away a £200 payoff, that would be ribbis. So we're just saying that thank you, or giving some extra words when we go on to that thing.
The thank you is never addressed in the Torah or anything like that, and maybe it's a modern phenomenon, but it's drawing from the word of dov or divo or the connection.
Yeah.
Why is a thank you qualified to sit into that issa more than you're doing me a favor, you're doing me speak. Why is that more of a divo?
Because I understand that the issa is l'haktim, what the Gemara learns out from the word divo is l'haktim lo shalom. To greet the person. And it could be understood that when you greet someone, you're actually giving him something. I don't know if someone would pay for it, but it's like you're giving him something extra. And the Shulchan Aruch says that based on that, you can't thank him. So we don't want to be moisif on that issa. Like what Rav Shlomo Zalman originally wanted to say, like you, that misvara, thank you shouldn't go into the dover of the Torah. That the Torah says thank you is maybe muta. He says that the Shulchan Aruch Rav says that it does go in, so therefore we have to go with the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch Rav. However, if we find a way which doesn't actually is not exactly the Issa of the Shulchan Aruch Rav, then we could be make up.
If I say thank you back to you, does that negate the thank you?
Oh, so there is a Meiri. The Meiri says that if you're he doesn't speak about the word thank you. He says something like that. The derech of people is that when you get a loan, you're machzik lo tova. The borrower is machzik tova, is like holds a tova back, and he's like thankful supposedly to the lender for the loan, and he says that maybe it's mutter because the lender is machzik lo tova back. So I never understood what that means. I used to think that means that if the borrower says thank you and the lender says it's an absolute pleasure and I was so happy to do it for you, then they're sort of like tit for tat. No one's got anything here. It's like he said thank you. He said pleasure. It's not cool that you've got anything. But I don't know why the poskim don't speak about this as a lakat chela. They do speak about it as if the lender who knows the halachos and he lends someone money and the borrower does say thank you, then that's an eitzah. That the lender should say back some words of, with pleasure, no problem, it was absolutely fine, and I'm happy to do this for you, and that way it sort of balanced it out. There's a very interesting question that...
Now, I was just thinking, we're all thinking of the stand of a traditional situation where the loiver is actually paying back the malve on their meeting.
Yeah.
But in many cases, it's you send money back, where there's a transfer or something like that, in which case you're saying that because it's not at the time of the transfer or at the time when the cheque arrived, it's in the post or it's just arrived or something, whatever, that he could phone him up and say thank you. That's not a problem because it's not at the time we're paying back.
Right, the Darki Tshuva would say that that's mutter. If you've paid back, you do a bank transfer, and then You come in on Monday morning and you see that on Friday afternoon the bank transfer went through, so now you want to call back and say thank you. The Darkei Tshuva would be Mekel. I'm not sure about the other place game, but Darkei Tshuva would definitely be Mekel in that case. They're very good. There's a question brought down, very interesting case. There's another Darkei Tshuva. He says that he's seen very often, it was obviously the case, this was quite an often phenomena, that someone was writing a sefer and they needed money to invest in that sefer, and they hoped that when they would produce their sefer, it was normally a Talmud Chacham that didn't have any money, needed was writing a sefer, and his way of producing the sefer was to take loans from various rich people in the town, and when he sells the sefer, he'll make some money and he'll pay back those people that lent him the money. So he says that the minhag was that people used to write in front of the sefer, the beginning of the sefer, the first page, the bracha said, oh, big thanks to all this list of all these rich people who all helped me bring out this sefer, and they lent me money for it. And so he writes, he thinks, says the Dakshua, shkoga gadoila, shemavorchim es amalvim b'sefer, they're benching, it also says there that they should be benched, and they should get all sorts of brachas. I almost don't understand what's going on here. They took simple loans, and based on those loans, they're publicizing their lenders' names, and they're benching them publicly in the Hakdama to the Sefer. So he discusses that maybe there should be a heter, that it's a mitzvah. We do find sometimes in Ribbis, a heter when it's a Ribbis Drabbanon, a heter of mitzvah. But he holds for a number of reasons that wouldn't be the case here. But there's a Tshuva or a Moshe, where he doesn't bring the Darkei Tshuva, but someone asked him, what should they do? Someone's lent them a significant amount of money for a sefer, and they want to put his name in the front of the sefer. They're not sure how to do it. So he writes there like a lashon of what you should copy out, how you should write it. And he says that you should write, this person lent me money, and min hashamayim, he will be benched for his chesed that he did, that he lent out money. So he says, that way, you are not thanking him. You're just publicizing that this person did a mitzvah, and Hashem benches people that does mitzvahs. The other people that are choluk on it, because
you're giving him
at the end of the day, every bracha essentially is what we don't really have a koyach bracha. You say, Rabbein Shalom should bench you. So there are posts going to argue on this, but this is what Rav Moshe Feinstein writes clearly, it's written in Tshuva. Oh, there's very often the case, though, this case could be in Nagia nowadays as well. A moistet who gets a loan from a public person, and now he makes a simcha the next week, and they want to advertise in the paper, a huge, big mazel tov. So on the one hand, it could be not connected, and we discussed last week, 2 weeks ago, that if you've done it before, previously, then we don't see any connection to the loan. But let's say it's a new contact that they received the loan from the week before, then it seemingly would be a problem. But then again, also, if he's donated money before to the moistet as well, he's not only a lender, he's also a donor. And sometimes donors say, okay, Adkan, from now we're going to lend money, we're not giving you any more. But your connection with him is not only due to the loan, it's also due to the donations he's given. And then it would be okay. Then it would be okay. Let's move on a bit, and we'll discuss after the time of loan. Someone asked last week, 2 weeks ago, about Mishloach Manos, sending Mishloach Manos to the lender. Someone's lent you money, you want to send the Mishloach Manos. I heard a story from someone, a friend of mine, who gave a big loan out to someone, and that Purim was a few weeks later, and they got a huge mess of Mishloach Manos from the lender. They weren't sure what to do.
From the borrower.
They were the lender, and they got a huge Mishloach Manos from the borrower. So, when we're talking about before, what the Lakat Chile is, and what you should do, and what you can do, and what you can't do, is there's two very important things to note. There's two times when we could be discussing. There's the time during the loan period, which means after you've borrowed money from someone, you borrow £1,000 from someone, there's now the period where you've borrowed it and you haven't yet paid back. Purim comes along in that time, and you want to send that lender Mishloach Manos, that's much more chamor. Even if you don't say explicitly that the reason I'm sending you Mishloach Manos is because of the loan, but it's pretty obvious that because you're midterm of a loan, and you actually have to pay him, you know you have to pay him back, and you owe him something, and you feel connected to him, you would not be allowed to send him. Unless there was a situation that you've previously sent him, or you would do it regularly, or if it's a parent, it's a friend, it's a neighbour. But then we said that you wouldn't be able to write in the note, thank you for the loan, because then you've taken the Mishloach Manos and you made the Asa. Now what about after the loan? you took a loan from someone in the beginning of the year after Sukkos. By January you've paid him back, and now it comes to Purim and you remember at the back of your mind that this lender did a favor for you in the time of need, and you think that would be nice to send him Shlach Malas. So the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person sends someone a present after the loan, then the Fida Ramah, unless he says clearly, Bishvil Sheilveil, unless you say clearly that the reason I'm sending this is because you lent me money, then it's Mutah. The simple reason is that you can't have everything Asa. Well, once a person's lent someone money, they're never allowed to have anything to do with them. So during the loan, there's a certain liability that you have to him, and therefore you have to be careful of how you deal with him. However, after the time of loan, and especially if a significant of time has gone by, as long as you don't mention that the reason you're sending this is because of the loan, it is mutter. And that is when you send the present stam. Shlach Manas has an extra svara. Now, Shlach Manas is a time that you send to other people, and you do send ish l'rei, or sometimes you send to people that you haven't sent before. So if it's after the loan, then it should be allowed.
Yes, if you never would give that person that Shlach Manas, now you know, £200 pass, oh. Good, and all these.
So the Ramah says there's two times it will be asa after the loan. If you say explicitly, Oishihu matana maruba. If you give a big present, the mistama hava ki'ilu pirishloi. And it's basically as if you're saying it. Sometimes a picture is more than it's worth 1,000 words. If you send the Masav Shlach Manas, it's written all over, this is because you lent me money in the time of need. And the Shach says, like you're saying, the Shach brings a mashal, he says that it depends, we have to see every situation for what it is. And he says that he brings, some poskim say that a big present is allowed, some people say a big present is not allowed, some people say only if it's a long time after the loan, short time after the loan. And he says, I think there's no machlokes poskim. Hakol lefi ha'inyan. Because obviously it depends on every single case. So I would have thought that a small Shlach Manas, which is not totally irregular to give someone, because with Shlach Manas is the time when you are giving people, and you are after the loan, would be allowed. However, if it's a big Shlach Manas, or you're still midterm of the loan, then it wouldn't be allowed. I saw a very interesting tshuva, Cheshiva Eifoid, of the Order of Padua, Zatal. He says there were two brothers. One brother lent another, the brother moved back or whatever, he moved to town, he didn't have any money, he needed some money to start off a business. So one brother, Reuven and Shimon, two brothers, Reuven lent Shimon a nice sum of money, obviously no rivers, nothing, but a big amount of money. And Shimon took it and he invested well into the right businesses. And after a few years, he made nice money back on his money. And he returned the original loan to his brother, Reuven. And he went to Rav Padua and he told him that he feels like he took his brother's money, he took Reuven's money. He made a lot of money with it and set him on his feet. And he feels that he wants to help his brother back. He wants to give him back. He doesn't know how well his brother's doing now. And he wants to give him some money back, but of course he doesn't want to be over any Isav Ribbis. But the reason that he's giving it is like what we spoke previously. He said, I just want to help him out. And I feel that I could help him out more than anyone. I should be helping him out, because he helped me out in a time of need, and I want to help him. So Rav Padua told him that you should wait a long time till after the loan. And even then, I'm not sure, because if it's going to be a Matana Maruba, if it's going to be a big present, then again, it's going to look like because of the loan. He said, wait till there's another reason where it would make sense to give him money. He was holding soon by making a wedding. He said, so when he's going to make a wedding, and then even if you wouldn't have previously helped him, or he's never married off a child, so you've never had this opportunity, because we're talking about a long time after the loan. So it's a ribbis drabana, which is only also when it's a matana maruba, or when you say it explicitly. And the fact that here, it's a brother, which would make sense to help out, then you can help him out. And he says, even if you by yourself, he told the brother that borrowed the money, he said, even if you go to your computer and your calculator and you work out within yourself what you feel would make sense to give him back, according to percentages or according to how long you've had the money, it's fine. Because we're talking about after the loan, and you never discussed any such terms that you're going to give interest, and you're giving it back now purely for a present, it doesn't matter what cheshbonus you make by yourself, because he doesn't need to know that. You're coming with a present, makes you feel good, makes him feel good. It's a brother, there's extra reason why it should be allowed, and he allowed it. But he said it definitely has to be a long time after the loan. It can't be any time close proximity to the loan, because then it would be...
A long time.
Week, month, year, now. Hakko
Oh,
so I actually want to discuss chasan and kala. There was an interesting story that when I was talking to people about what I'm talking about, that someone told me that when he got married, he got a whole like big presents from quite a few people, and he went to his parents and he went to his in-laws and said, "You know these people?" So his father-in-law told him, "Ah, they bought you big presents. They borrowed money from me and they haven't paid me back. Only trying to think. They bought big presents for you." So how do you look at such a case? So on the one hand, we know that Ribbis
is paying back half of the loan.
So someone mentioned that last time. That if someone pays you money and you want to, and someone's giving you an inverted commas interest, and you know that the guy's hasn't paid back in years, and I'm not sure if he's ever going to pay back, then you could take it back and just take it as payment for the loan. But you just have to make sure that you are actually writing it down. Because what happens if you win the lottery a year later and he comes back with the whole loan? You're going to have to make sure that you don't take it back. I also don't know if it takes away the issa from the guy giving it to you. Because the borrower who's giving it to you, he's not thinking payment for the loan. He's thinking, ribbis, get them off my head. I feel so bad. I've had this money for so long. I need to do something about it. So generally in ribbis, there's only an issa from the... I'll just say another question, which happened yesterday. Yesterday there was one of these charities that were doing a campaign going on yesterday, which some people were involved in. And one person, a friend of mine who was involved in the campaign, sent out an email to 80 contacts of his, please help me with this campaign. One guy sent the tzedakah donation, a huge donation. And then he remembered that he still has a loan outstanding with him. That a few months ago or a year ago they'd lent him money, a big sum of money, the family had lent him money, and now he noticed this huge donation, which no one said anything about it, what it was because of, but he thinks it may be connected. So again, the ribbis is not to him, it's going to the tzedakah.
Charity.
It's going to charity. So if I lend you money and then I come to you a few months later and I ask you to give money to the tzedakah, one could suggest that there's no ribbis because you are giving money to the tzedakah. But the things that we were worried about were that, first of all, when you have a page, you're funding one of these charity things and you get a donation, it gives you a certain good feeling. And if lahakdim sholem is also, if the borrower is not allowed to greet the lender when he hasn't previously greeted him, and we said even saying thank you maybe also, thank you is not worth, not tangible, is not worth money. So putting a big donation on his page, which makes him feel very good and makes him closer to his goal, should essentially be a problem.
Yes, this is your money.
No, he wouldn't have to give back the money. We were clarifying if maybe he should. You can call up organisers and say, take it off the page or take it off my goal. The truth is that they asked yesterday Diane Hall, and he said that he thinks it's fine because he can't see the connection. I think it's a chiddush, but he says it's one thing when the borrower sends you a present midterm of the loan, then even if he doesn't mention anything, you two are very much connected. Lender, borrower, he's sending you a present. We see it to do with the loan. However, in this case where he's giving to a tzedakah campaign and you have lent him previously money, he doesn't see it. It was Paskin.
It
doesn't make sense?
Not paying it to him.
Oh, yeah. So I said the money wouldn't have to give back, for sure not, because the money went to the charity and that's nothing to do with him. But that Tovah Sanah, that we Paskin, that you're not allowed to ask, Tovah Sanah is considered the moment. Yes. And that would be a problem of ribbis. Because it's worked. It's got a value. Because I'm having a geschmack out of the whole thing. So I just want to get back because we were talking about... It wasn't personal. I hear you want to make a difference if it was a personal appeal or wasn't a personal appeal. I hear. So with the wedding presents of the child, also I think the presents of the wedding presents to the child of the lender. I'm also not sure. If they generally would give presents, and that's a bit bigger, it's very hard to start deciphering and saying it's only bigger because of this. And the child, that we have to remember that the child is not the parent himself. You may be somach al shulchan aruch, which makes it worse, then it's essentially giving it to the father as well. But I'm not sure what the halacha would be on that. I just want to finish off that the Medrash in this week's Seder, I thought that it's appropriate to say the Pasuk says in this week's Seder, it says in Kesef Tal Vesami that there's a mitzvah of lending people money. And the Medrash says, someone who has riches and he gives out tzedakah and he gives out loans and he doesn't lend out with interest, malin olav ki'ilu kayim kol ha-mitzvahs kulam. That's a major thing, so Baruch Hashem should help, but should be zeichah for the stuff. So speaking about that, I'll ask you to be as if we're being kind of...